Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The emptiness, it's not dead. It's filled with love. So when you're with your kids and you're feeling that thing, it's not the kids that are generating it. It's that in that connection, you're opening up to what you actually are. Meaning that, in fact, the whole point of letting go of preference is the more you let go of preference,
the more you have that.
Yes.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Welcome, everybody, to Dr. After Dark. Phone number 818-253-1693 for those voice messages. And, of course, these emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. We appreciate you supporting the show. We appreciate support the people that support the show. So use all those good products that we try to carefully select. Today, the guest, Duncan Trussell.
Hi, how you doing? Man. Use offer code DTFH. You don't have to use their offer code.
No, use my offer code, please. But so you have monkeypox and COVID, you were telling me?
Just
before
a
the
little.
Mic
it's not that bad.
The monkeypox, not bad?
Yeah,
can I touch it and get it, just get it over with?
Oh, yeah, like, that's not like where it's not pox. On my hand.
Oh, it's on your dick? Shit.
But you can definitely touch it if you want to.
Shit. Oh, so Duncan and I are friends from way back. Do you guys know, has Duncan been on this show? He did it in Recedo years ago, right?
I believe so.
I did your show a long time ago. Yes.
And we watched, back when we were, the first incarnation, we were watching some videos and stuff, right?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
It's a murky, watery, all my memories are kind of murky.
What is that, man?
I think it's age.
It is, and it drives me fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So I remember when I was about 45, I was interviewing a neuroscientist, and he was, I forget why I was talking to him, great, but he was saying that most people as they age complain about memory, but what they're really complaining about is two things, name finding.
Yeah.
Finding names.
I gave up 10 years ago
terrible.
On that.
And working memory, which is the ability to keep something in mind while you're doing something else.
Yes.
Like, you know, we'll be talking and I remember to bring this up to Junkin. Gone,
right.
Gone.
Gone.
It's gone. It's
gone.
It's
gone with the wind, baby.
And now you're in parenting stupor, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You really are a doctor, aren't you?
And a parent. I've been there.
Here's what I did last night. Here was my big, dumb plan. So Aaron goes to bed, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to...
Tell them how old your kids are.
1.5 and 3.5.
Oh, geez.
It's they're the best. And I love that. That's also part of the, I don't want to call it stress, but you love them so much that the way it pulls at your heart is just so intense. So every day is this intense, like, Jesus, I fucking love you. But you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
it's intense.
It's intense.
So,
and then I would get anxiety on top of it. Like, fuck, nothing can happen. I know all the shit that can happen. And I obsess about it.
And I gotta work. So it's like, oh my God, why am I absentee? Mm-hmm. You just want to be with them. They're so, regardless, last night,
they'll let you know. My kid's like, you weren't around. It's like,
well, then it's too late. They're not going to let you know now. That's the problem, right?
I know.
Anyway, here's the dumb plan. Dumb plan. We watched this fucked up horror movie. Are you into horror movies?
Not really.
Okay.
You watch it with the kids?
No.
Okay, good.
I didn't want to watch it with me. This is like a PTSD style Terrifier 2. Oh my God, it's disgusting. Anyway, Aaron goes to bed. And I'm like, I'll just, you know what? She's going to get up with the kids tomorrow morning. Great. I'm just going to play some video games. So I stayed up late making the assumption. I don't know what I was thinking. I'm like, yeah, I'll be able to sleep in. And then at like, you know.
Not with the kids.
6.
Oh, yeah.
It's 6. It just sounds like Texas Chainsaw Massacre upstairs. I don't know what's happening. Just, you know, like, just the scream of like anguish coming from the youngest one. He's totally fine.
Because he didn't get his French toast or something, yeah.
Well, I don't know what. I don't know. So, yeah, I'm exhausted right now. You noticed that. So that's what's happening.
So how long have you been married now?
I've been married almost 5 years.
5 years. So I think you were just getting married probably last
that's
time
right.
we did this show, maybe 4 years ago. And then I think the kids are new since you've last done this show. I think you probably did this 3 or 4
that's
years
right.
ago.
That's right, yeah.
And also what's come in since we last were together on this show, I think, was Midnight Gospel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
so talk to people about that, because I that show, people fucking love that show, and I do too. Talk about it.
Well,
how did it happen? What was it? You know.
You know, one day I get this email from Pendleton Ward, who I only knew as the creator of Adventure Time, one of the greatest animated series of all time. And I just started podcasting was still new. This was still when podcasting was relatively new. Like, so back then, I don't think anybody really understood the effect of podcasting that you could, you know, you're putting stuff out there. You don't know who's listening. You don't know who's...
Well, you know, your podcast was pretty successful pretty early, right?
Really not compared to, like, the
Joe
way podcasts are now.
Well, but I remember you... First, I loved doing your podcast. I ran into a lot of people that liked your podcast.
And this was earlier than you doing it.
Okay.
See, that you and me being friends even. You know what I mean? I never would have, like, when I started podcasting, I wouldn't have been like, one day you're going to be friends with Dr. Drew. I would never have thought that. Like, we just thought it was cool. It was a fun way to have conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm talking early days.
Yeah.
And I got an email from Penn Ward being like, hey, I really like your podcast. And I was just like, that's a troll. There's no way the creator of Adventure Time is listening to my podcast. It was just a real mind-blowing moment. And then... You know,
did you follow up to ask him to come on the podcast?
We got
or anything,
to be
or?
Friends.
Oh my gosh!
You know, back then, man, I was like dead broke. I'd had a podcast with Natasha Leggero called The Lavender Hour. That's when I started podcasting. We broke up. I don't know why. It's weird. Sometimes it seems like women don't like supporting you when you don't have a job. Have you ever noticed that? Is that in medical stuff?
No,
is there something out there?
There is something about. What makes women attractive to men that includes not being dependent on them.
Right. It's not like when you tell them that like maybe you're going to start making fountains to make money.
Was that your plan at the time?
Yeah. Maybe I'll be a fountain builder. I'll start selling cool fountains. So.
And did she get married soon after that?
Soon after that, she met Moshe.
Yeah.
And they had the most amazing kid, and like it was it's perfect. Like
that know, worked out for her.
Yeah. Oh God, it was a great move. Great move. I needed it. She needed it.
Okay,
you know what am I going to do? What would I be doing right now? Like, imagine if my fountain business had taken off. Kind of weird life would I be
what
in right
kind
now?
Kind of fountain, like the little fountains you get like at a Zen flower
true,
shop?
True.
Or you're going to build like the Trevi fountain, like a big monument.
You know, like how depression works, right? Like, you know, like you're not in therapy. You need to be in therapy.
Yes.
You've got all this unacknowledged shit. You're in a kind of stupor.
You get grandiose.
You get grandiose, but crazy, but you just want to sleep. It was just a whole maelstrom of bad news, basically. So I started my own podcast, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour, and then started doing that, taking it seriously. Then Penn reached out to me.
So and Natasha, you're broken up. You're doing the podcast. Penn reaches out.
That's the order. And at some point, he's like, I have an idea for how to maybe do the podcast as a cartoon.
Right in the early days.
Early day. This was pretty early.
Had he been on the podcast or he just was a fan?
I think he came on the podcast with Jesse Moynihan, who ended up doing a lot of the art for the Midnight Gospel. So
did you talk about it when he was a guest on the podcast?
No.
Like, hey,
he invited me out to coffee. And because Adventure Time had just ended or he'd left Adventure Time. I don't remember. And we're at coffee and somewhere as we're talking, I don't know if it was something I did or he just at some point he's just, you know, I just think I'm too busy to really do this. It was like I tried to not cry. You know what I mean? Because like I'm making money selling posters at that time. I'm going down to Costco and printing posters that I'm mailing out to sell. I'm subletting a place. So, yeah, it was, I remember walking to my car like, well, it's okay. It's okay. We'll just try to sell some more posters. But yeah, then years later, he reaches out to me. He's like, I think I'm ready to do that now. And so that is.
Did he explain to you what his idea was in the first incarnation?
Kind of, but not really. Okay. Like, he's a genius.
And I know. And I remember when you pitched it to me, you had trouble describing it. Just you'll see when you get here, kind of
that.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And then I had the experience of didn't know who the guy was in the booth directing me. And was like, holy shit, who is that? That guy knows exactly what he's doing. I can't believe how fucking, targeted he was.
I know, it's so wild.
And I ran into him in the parking lot. We'll keep going, your part. We'll talk about our
pitch. Well, that's pretty much it.
Like, how does he pitch it to you? Because it's so odd.
Well, we started talking about it. Like, how would we do it? Like, it popped into his head, like, what happens if we, like, make the dialogue for the podcast?
But I'm imagining, if somebody pitched that to me, I would imagine sort of us as cartoon characters sort of sitting talking.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's not
what it was.
No. That's what the genius was like. Yeah, what if we do the dialogue? They're having the conversations, but it's like an adventure, or they're in some weird world. We're going to take the podcast dialogue, attach it to...
An adventure. And who, two things. Who came up with the character, right?
Yeah.
And the whole time machine or whatever the hell that vagina was. who went from the conversation to seeing the adventure? Because I would never in a million years have seen what he drew.
Well, that was us just talking. And I've always been really interested.
You and him talking.
Yes. Yeah. I've been into simulation theory, it's so cool. It's such a fun, thought experiment.
Yeah.
So the idea of someone going into a simulator to harvest novelty, like that, it was just us bouncing ideas. And then he would sketch and draw. He started drawing the world of the chromatic ribbon. It was just this wonderful collaboration. And not just with him, with so many... just geniuses at Titmouse, the animation studio that did it. And so, it just sort of grew. Like, it grew out of all of these minds.
They just know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing, and Pendleton knows how to bring people together, harmonize them.
And create. Create in a way that moves forward and bears fruit.
That's it. And empower. Like, he's so good at empowering people around him and, letting you, he encouraged me to do those weird songs in every episode. I never would have done that in a million years. But he brings that out of people.
Yeah,
he's like, why don't you do that? And he's so.
That's a wonderful quality. I wrote a book once with Judith Regan, who is a famous editor. And that's how I felt talking to her. Like, she was just bringing stuff out of me. I was like, I don't know what she's doing, but I'm responding.
That is one of the great.
Talents, superpower. It's a superpower.
City. One of the words for it is a city. People talk about if you meditate long enough, you hear a lot of bullshit like, well, maybe you can levitate or walk through walls or turn into a rainbow or stuff like that. Yeah. But really, it doesn't have to be through meditation, but really there's better powers.
Powerful hallucinogens, I suspect.
Well, yeah, maybe. You definitely might think you're walking through a wall until you wake up with a black eye. But the if you think about those things that you hear about or you watch in the Kung Fu movies, cool, whatever. But there's actually more, I think, pragmatic ways that people can become magical, which is just what you're talking about there, where suddenly you're around someone and somehow you feel funnier or, there's a resonance happening or something. They know how to bring good stuff out of you. Sadly, it works the opposite way too.
People
can
suck it the other direction. Yeah. Suck shit out of you.
Yeah.
If you make me think about when I was a kid, I've never ever talked about this. I had this fantasy that I wanted to, whenever we traveled as a family, I was 3 or 4 years old, I wanted to be able to zap my house and backyard to wherever I was traveling.
Wow, cool.
And my dad would say to me, because I had this fully formed idea. I was like 5 years old. And my dad would say, well, just think really hard about it. Maybe you'll figure it out.
Wow.
Yeah. And I realized as an adult, I recreated that a little bit by, we keep an apartment here and there. Those are my homes. I didn't, it was not the way I thought about it happening, but it was the same feeling
that
and
is
the
so
same
cool.
result. Creatively, it's the same thing. It's just, you don't always, it doesn't always go the way you think it's going to go, but it ends up somewhere almost richer.
Okay. So let's talk about this idea 5-year-old Drew had, because it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And that actually, that's enlightenment. Like what you're talking about there is actually, like if you take it one step deeper, what you want is the feeling of being home.
Yes, correct.
But you want that wherever you go.
Correct. And I didn't know that. Now I know that.
Yeah, that's what you're, that's what we're all looking for.
I kind of wanted my backyard with me wherever I go, but as an adult, I didn't. I just wanted the home.
That's it. And that's what every addict wants. Like if, like, I remember a long time ago when I was flirting with opioids, we've talked about this, where I'm like, you know, Vicodin isn't that bad. You know, and we get around other people who are into pills, and they're like, you should try it with red wine. You get like pill head advice.
Yeah.
You know, a great Pinot Noir with Vicodin. It's my favorite night. You don't know it's acetaminophen. It's just like, you're just like, why not just take your liver out and just fucking hammer it on the table instead? But back in those days, I can remember like being on, after I got my ball chopped off from cancer, being on Vicodin and thinking like, my God, I feel like I'm home. I feel like I'm warming my hands. And like some
people will describe it also being warm blanket and mother's arms.
Yes.
Like being back in mother's arms.
So I think synthetically, like you're, it's like you're getting a synthetic replication of a potential way to be that you don't need anything for.
Yeah.
But somehow the opioids, they get you close to it or they...
Cannabis does that for some people too.
Cannabis does that too. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so that thing you're talking about, this is a... I've been kicking this idea around a lot lately because I get into this Buddhist shit. I'm always reading it. And like the way this one teacher puts it, Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, is, okay, you come home at the end of the day, you've worked your ass off, you sit down on the couch, and you go, what if you could expand that?
Yeah. Wherever you go.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that, do you think that's a possibility?
I kind of think I've weirdly done something like that with my life. I kind of feel that way here. I feel that way with you. I feel that way in certain relationships I cultivate. And I feel that way, you know, we're moving around a lot, me and my wife.
Yeah.
And where we go, I make sure that I've created that makes me kind of feel that way. I mean, like New York City now is like one of those places for me. It's like, that's home.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's that.
But really a key for me component of it is the creative outlet or the creative element. Like you have to create these things, right? You have to create the relationship. You have to create stuff like this and engage. You know, there's a very deeply creative process to really, at least for me, feeling like that.
All right. I agree. I mean, I'm still in that place too.
Yeah.
But what do you think about the idea that you actually don't have to rearrange external phenomena to get
you should be like carried around in your heart kind of thing?
Well, yeah. It's the idea that like, in fact.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you should. I mean, I could see where that'd be very appealing, and I strangely don't want that.
Why?
Because I get it this other way,
right?
And I find it more meaningful to me.
More invigorating.
I feel like the other would be just about me, and the other is about leading a certain kind of life.
Well,
where I'm engaged.
Right. You know, where it's like talking about like trigonometry or some kind of high math. I have no idea.
We don't know what we're talking about, really.
I don't know what
we're also talking about tastes, you know, like
preference.
Yeah, preferences.
Well, this is I can't remember the name of it. There's some famous Zen text. The beginning of it goes something along the lines of, the great way is not difficult for they who hold no preference.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Interesting.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. No preference.
Yeah.
Because like all of society is defined by preference. Well,
and that sort of sounds like the Zen stuff, letting go. Letting go of all desire.
It's preference. You ever, yeah. You know, like the more intense you are regarding like the food you order, the more intense you are regarding like what needs to be around you.
Yeah.
The more you're going to suffer. That's the
presumption of those sorts of philosophies.
Yeah.
But we started this whole thing talking about your intense love for your kids. They would have you let go of that too a little bit. You know what I mean?
Actually not.
No?
This is a misconception, okay. Thank God. Because then it would just be some kind of like nihilistic shit religion, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It's, the premise, and again, different lineages of Buddhism, so they all have different takes on it. A very confusing word that pops up a lot and it is emptiness. Mm. And so people hear that, especially in the West, we don't like empty.
We don't like
it. We like full.
Yes.
Full gas tank, full coffee, full bank account, full. So it's not really, so the word could be confusing here, but we do like space.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, it's nice to have a lot of space. So that's a better way to think about it in terms of like vastness. Like when you're looking out of the ocean and you go, oh, wow, that's a better way to think of the emptiness idea. But the emptiness, it's not like it's not dead. It's filled with love. So when you're with your kids and you're feeling that thing, it's not the kids that are generating it. It's that in that connection, you're opening up to what you actually are. Meaning that, in fact, the whole point of letting go of preference is the more you let go of preference,
the more you have that.
Yes.
I like that because I've always felt that real spirituality is interpersonal. I feel like a big piece of it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Pendle can make a great cartoon out of this, what we're just talking about. So, why doesn't he do it? Why did the cartoon get dropped? Why is Netflix
from
doing
Netflix?
That? Yes.
Well,
he needs to do it again. He needs to take it somewhere else.
Netflix, their business model is. I think this is my. I speculate. I mean, the thing is, like, I have no. I can't have real bitterness about it because the executives I worked with were so awesome, and they were like, they let us make the show. And, but I think the business model for Netflix is do a lot of
first runs,
hit the Stranger Things,
and
then pour the money into that.
So they have to really hit in order for them to be recurrences.
Exactly.
So let's tell them more about how this came to be. So you're developing this thing, because it's still not clear to me how our conversation on your podcast became the adventure that he envisioned, you know, with the little president and all this stuff.
The zombies.
The zombies. Is that something you were thinking about?
I'm pretty sure he came up with President Dr. Drew. I'm pretty sure he came up with that. And he did. He did. You know what he did? He drew a... Okay, yeah, now I remember. So we pitched it with an animatic, you know, just a shitty little like low res line drawing.
Off the podcast still.
Off the podcast.
So you know, the audio was the podcast.
He grabs our episode. He puts the audio into the animatic. He draws a little President Dr. Drew fighting zombies with us talking on the rooftop of the White House. It's so funny. We bring it in, show it to them as proof of concept, and everyone laughed. It's funny. And so that's what sold it.
Wow.
Along with, you know, Pendleton being involved. But then that was like 3 minutes. The animatic was 3 minutes.
Yeah.
We had to figure out a way to do that for 20 minutes
of
a conversation with animation.
Well, and that by the way, you'd have an arc of this multi-episode thing now you had to invent,
that's
too.
That's it. So there were a lot of problems that appeared in the process of making the thing that we figured it out.
Christina was one of the voices, I'm just remembering.
That's right. Yeah. Christina was one of the voices. Yeah, she was Clancy's sister.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So funny.
Oh, man, it was the best. Making that was so fun. It was...
Well, now here's the other part. So help explain to them how we ended up in a sound booth. So here was just our audio from our podcast, but then we still needed to do some more audio.
Yes. Okay. So essentially, we realized that you have to glue. It's like you have to pin the dialogue to the animation, or otherwise it becomes like animation with the background sound of a podcast.
Yes.
So you've got to connect the conversation to what's happening. You can't have zombies running around and not acknowledge there's zombies running around.
Right.
Right. So, but if you do too much of that, then it distracts from the conversation.
Yes.
So it's a balancing act. And so we had you come in because we needed you to react to like machine guns.
So there's a lot of, hey, whoa.
Yeah. I remember we were like, will he say that? Will he say fuck?
And then we had to sing the song at the end. You're just sing along. Don't worry about it.
That's right. But you got a great voice. I didn't know that then.
Oh, God. But it's the amazing thing to me was, I couldn't really visualize we didn't see it yet, right? There was nothing really to see. You were kind of showing me little sketches and stuff.
Yeah.
And Pendleton came in and goes, no, I need this. This is what I need.
Yep.
And when I would do it, I would go, I can tell that that's something right. And I thought, and I ran into him in the parking lot. We went and actually did a podcast that same day, I think, or one of the other times I was in there. And I ran into him walking across the parking lot because your podcast studio was across the parking lot, remember? And I didn't know who he was. I just thought he was the guy in there directing or something. And I stopped him. I said, I see how extraordinary what you do is.
Right.
Where did you learn this? And he was just like, I've just been doing it for a while. Very humble.
Very humble.
Super humble.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know who he was at that point. I had no idea.
Yeah, for sure that guy is just one of a kind.
Yeah.
Just completely unique, amazing human.
And so I'll ask again, where did the vagina come from?
That was Pendleton.
People can watch this now, right? Can they go on Netflix?
Yeah,
it's on
Netflix. Right,
Midnight Gospel. Go watch it.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the number one episode. The other episode is 7 and 8 with your mom.
Episode's with my mom.
8 and 9, 7 and 8.
It's just 10. One episode. It's 8.
I swear it was 2 with your mom. That was just one episode.
There was 2 podcasts with my mom.
Oh.
But there's just we took the audio from both.
I see. Maybe that's where I got that in my head.
Yeah, that's where you got it.
Susan, my wife, just burst into tears during that, and I've talked to many other people who had a similar reaction.
Same. Yeah, I'm so happy that got out there. You know, people. You know, this as a doctor, like we are so like grief illiterate in our society, in our culture.
Not your mom.
Not my mom. And dying people become very literate in dying.
I've dealt with it a lot.
Not
and
all
some,
of them.
Some do, some don't. Your mom was on it.
Well,
on
she did it consciously.
On.
Yeah. Die consciously. You don't have to like.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's like I fantasize that like when we do die. And we realize, you don't really die. This whole thing is like some kind of training, teaching, whatever, maybe recreational activity. But like after we die, do they like, are there shows where they're like, look at this amazing death. That was incredible. That was like a 10 out of 10 death.
Like Pendleton's on the other side making cartoons out of it.
Yeah, right. It's like we think it's such a big deal over on this side of things, as you should. We don't know what's on the other side. But once it happens, it's like, wow, that's like Olympic diving.
Like when you get across.
Yeah, amazing, amazing death. Well done.
It's
like
so
a
funny.
Triple backflip.
Oh my
death.
God, that's funny. Anyway, so do go watch Midnight Gospel. What we're talking about is this one episode where we did a podcast about essentially legalization of cannabis. Essentially, we were talking about, and then his mom did a couple of pods with Duncan where it was her end of her life.
That's right.
And she was sharing some profound feelings and thoughts, and the way he animated that was also made it very intense.
She died 2 weeks after that.
Oh man. Intense.
Yeah. She was right there, at the singularity.
You would not have known it hearing her talk about it.
Well,
she sounded robust. She sounded vital.
Yeah. You know, that was that. You know how cancer works, man. That's how it can work sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
just all of a sudden, boom.
Once.
Oh, so she didn't know it was 2 weeks before. It wasn't.
She knew.
She knew it was coming.
She was in hospice.
Okay.
She knew it was coming.
Okay.
She was on oxygen, but you know, also she had been dealing with cancer for years, and she changed her diet. She, you know, she was really like disciplined in what she was putting in her body, and so she was quite lucid. You know, she wasn't like at that point she had yet to like really start taking a lot of
opiates and
stuff. Morphine and stuff like that. So she was still like there.
Did she have pain at the end? Did she have,
yeah. At the end, she had pain, and you know, we gave her, she wanted morphine. Yeah, so we did that. Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. But that was very close to the end when she just fell asleep.
I don't know where to go after thinking about her because we have silliness to talk about. Should we just do it?
You don't know how to go into jokes from talking about my mom's death? Come on, Drew, you're an entertainer. You can do it.
What you call a transition.
Yeah, but in all ways. Look, my mom would have, she was so wonderful. She wouldn't have been offended by us laughing after that. I mean, she would have wanted that. Anybody, any person who's died, I'm sure.
No, I think she was, yeah. Well, she wanted you to thrive as much as anything.
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly, that's every parent, right?
That's every parent, right? It is right. Which is you're not you say, you know, you want them to be happy, but then we sort of superimpose our shit on it, like what we think that would be.
Yeah.
Really just want them to thrive, whatever that means for them.
I recommend anyone out there do a podcast with your parent at some point. It doesn't have to be when they're dying, but if you can record a nice conversation with them, you'll be so happy you did it. It's you'll be able to go back. Hopefully your parents will meet your kids. Hopefully they'll meet your
kids. Did your
kids,
mom ever meet your kids?
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, but at least not in this life.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But you know, it's kind of like Superman. Remember, like how he had that repository of data from his parents that he could go to, those crystals or whatever.
Yes.
You know, if you get a nice couple of conversations with your parents, you're gonna have that, and when you go back and listen, it's like, oh shit, she was telling me stuff based on how much she knew me and based on how dumb she knew I was at that moment.
Isn't it interesting to you? This is back to the thing I was saying about moving my home around, how we have these fantasies of these extraordinary things we would like a crystal that you put in and your parents sort of show up. But we have things like that now if we're creative enough to pay attention and to really take advantage of
it. Yes, that's right.
Which is kind of odd. I mean, kind of like extraordinary.
So download your parents' brain. That's going to come soon. You'll be able to just download your parents' entire brain into your computer. That'll be annoying.
That's the singularity, won't it? Isn't it?
What, you'll hope for the fucking singularity when you're getting infinite texts from your immortal mom. What did you say that for?
You're immortal.
Why did you? You need to sleep more, Drew.
If you had done more Midnight Gospel, what would you have done?
Well,
did you have a plan?
Well, yeah, because the first season to me, it felt like it was all about death, and so I would. The second season, I wanted it to be about life, because you know, that like, especially now that I'm a dad and watching how gory in the most beautiful way life is, how like, you know, the outflow, the progenitive outflow of organic matter into the universe is so beautiful and wild.
I think Camille Paglia calls it the chthonic Dionysian soup. Chthonic.
How long have we been friends? For a long time. You're just going to drop chthonic Dionysian soup on me right now?
I think that was her way of saying it.
I'm naming the third kid that.
Chthonic just means like out of the swamp. And then Dionysian means out of the expressive chaos, right? Like sort of right brain stuff. No, yes.
No, I just love you, man. You just casually said chthonic Dionysian soup. All right, let's take calls.
All right, well, let's talk about someone's penis explodes on weed. Okay. Hey, Hitler, let's proceed from there. After learning about negative side effects from super strong weed, oh, I had a terrible weed reaction. You okay? We're going to be all right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to forge on. I had a terrible reaction to some weed where I developed like an anticholinergic delirium. I like really was...
You were telling me about that.
All right. Wanted to see if you could give me some insight on a similar situation. I smoked strong weed, happened to get an erection like too many Benadryl. My dick was rock hard and the veins were so large I was convinced they were going to explode.
Too many Benadryl?
It's a story. It's a joke here. I immediately got terrified, took a cold shower, sobered up. Is it possible I had no reaction to the particular strain that was smoking? Was the weed purchased? Blah, blah, blah. Well, that's called priapism. And priapism can be caused by almost any substance. And so why you got priapism from weed, I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Never heard of that.
But it's, I guess, what's happened to you. Tripping balls. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I remember I was trying to sleep, had a psychedelic-like experience, felt unreal, thought I was going to die. So I tried to go to my parents, but I collapsed in the hallway. I was laying on the ground. I remember looking up and seeing everything getting bigger, like I was shrinking. I could almost see my uncle. I could also see myself. But when my parents came out and got me on my feet, I was back to normal. Just curious what caused that experience.
Drugs?
No, he's 4 years old.
What?
4 years old.
Four-year-old should not be taking acid.
Correct. This is called a hypnagogic hallucination.
Hold on, wait. I'm so sorry. I misheard. You know what? Here's what happened. You're going quick.
I'm going quick. I'm trying to make that transition.
You saw the wheels spinning in my head as I'm thinking, like, whoa, can weed make your dick hard?
Correct.
And I'm like going through. I'm
You're
like,
still that. You're still
I'm
there.
Like, no, that yeah. definitely not priapism. But oh, I'm so sorry. Can you read that?
He essentially had a psychedelic-like experience.
When he was four.
Four.
Okay, gotcha.
He had some weird, he can't
Back do, on track.
Uncanny experience, walked down the hall to his parents, ended up on the ground, felt like he was shrinking.
Oh, okay.
Room was getting bitter. Parents got him on his feet. He was fine. That's a sleep phenomenon. It's called hypnagogic hallucination.
Okay.
He was sleepwalking. He was still in REM sleep. People can experience all kinds of
sure.
things. The typical thing is that the bed's going up to the ceiling. Or like Sal from the Stern Show, that was one of his hypnagogic hallucinations. Or that somebody's lying on top of you.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it'll be a devil or a ghost.
It's astral. But you're talking about astral projection.
Well, there is also that's something a little different actually, because people can do that in an awake state sometimes. This
yeah.
is strictly sleep.
Well, but the sleep paralysis precedes
yeah,
astral projection.
Sleep paralysis goes along with it.
But
too,
to
yeah.
get to come out of your body, you got to go into sleep paralysis, and then you can bounce out.
Well, some people with like really significant substances will have that, right? They sometimes have that experience.
Rob, I don't know why you're pointing to me. Robert Anton Wilson, not Robert Anton, I'm sorry. There's a book called Journeys Out of the Body by Robert Monroe. Mm. He worked with the CIA. The CIA actually studied this shit because they were like, if you can do it,
yeah.
let's like send
let's
them into
spy.
The Kremlin
yeah,
or whatever, right? So yeah, it's a great book. And when I was a kid, my mom had these subliminal astral projection tapes that I would listen to before going to sleep. And I woke up one morning while I was skipping school and I figured out if I just go out the front door and then come back up the steps quietly, she's not going to check my room. So I'd done that. I was just laying in bed and... Yeah, all of a sudden I woke up. The fan was in my face.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did think, oh, it's an acid flashback because in high school I did so much acid. But then I turned and looked. I saw myself lying in bed.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an acid flashback because I'd been doing these astral projection tapes. So I think I pulled it off.
So sometimes people that are severely dissociative, like they have lots of trauma in childhood, can sort of do that in an awake state.
There's
just I've seen people describe that.
Crazy.
Let's listen to some voice messages. What do you guys have there?
Hi, Dr. Jeans. Hi, Booth Boys. Wow, I love you guys. I wanted to call before, but I guess this is the question that's going to make it happen.
Okay.
I just left a comedy show with my boyfriend, and I'm waiting in the car right now while he grabs us Five Guys. The only other context you need is that I'm a 28-year-old woman who is biologically able to have multiple orgasms.
Ah, good for her.
Literally the only person I've ever heard talk about this. So I'm going to ask you, do you think people who come easily or more easily have anything in common with people who laugh easily? I saw
wow.
that.
She's
and
right.
I don't really see a difference in, like, a guy who makes me laugh uncontrollably and a guy who makes me come uncontrollably. Let me know what you think.
Wow.
And tell Susan I say hi.
Did she
Thanks.
Give us a name? Bye. That's a great, great question.
She didn't
give a name. So I've talked to, you know, everybody over the years. And one thing that becomes very clear quickly is you realize women have this sort of spectrum.
I come very clear since I've gotten old. What is that?
It's that... You get your pipes are nice and clean, so it's not.
That's what it means.
Yeah, it could be your testosterone levels too, but usually the more you're evacuating the semen, the kind of less chunky it is, less thick it is.
Yeah.
So good on you.
Great.
So women have this sort of spectrum where about 5 or 10% of them orgasm easily with intercourse, oftentimes multiple times. They don't like oral sex. That group does not like oral sex. And then there's a 30-40% that can kind of sometimes orgasm with intercourse, but reliably with the oral sex. And then there's about 50% that only with direct stimulation like oral sex cannot orgasm with intercourse.
Right.
She's in this group that orgasms with intercourse multiple, multiple times. They start having orgasm like at the onset of intercourse.
Well, then we have something in common.
So, but she can keep going, keep producing. And it's really funny. And what she's asking, she was saying that she associates it with somehow the laughter, like a guy that makes her laugh repeatedly is some similarity. And I have noticed, I can tell from the laugh whether or not it's a woman that is multi-orgasmic.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I used to do it all the time with my cats, but I just go, that one, I just can tell how she laughed. I can just tell. And it is kind of an easy, giggly kind of laugh. It's hard to describe. I know it when I hear it. But if she just laughed for us, I could have showed it to
you.
Wait. Isn't that weird?
Like what truffle pigs do for truffles.
Yes. I can do for multi-orgasms.
Wow.
Yes. I am the truffle orgasm pig.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's weird.
Wait, the implication here is this. Theoretically, if this is something you're picking up, and we actually did a study, which would be a very fun study to do.
It would be fun, yes.
That means that we could train an AI. There could be an app
to pick up
on your phone you could like just record the laughter.
And go, is that one or not?
Yes,
I like that. That world's coming. Speaking of being creative.
Wow.
Because I know, man, they're gonna like be searching the environment.
Really,
the great technological environment is from the stage in an audience. Could you hear that laugh out of the audience and pick the one and just go, hey, you.
Augmented reality goggles. Yes. It puts like a weird symbol over their head. Incredible.
So, and they have another thing too, is if these women often, it's so easy and so automatic for them, they feel sort of as though their other peers that don't orgasm, but then of course just haven't figured it out yet. They'll always say, you just need to figure it out.
Like, oh, that
it's
sucks.
It's a different biology. It's a different thing.
Also, that type of woman, they shit their pants more. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a little follow-up from this young lady, see if that's part of the deal. So, and you're proud of yourself.
Me?
Yes.
What? It's science. I did this study. I did this study in college. I did.
It was your thesis.
Yeah.
All right, give me another one.
Hey, Hitler. It's me, Joe.
I'll tell you.
I have a question about a very rare condition that I was just diagnosed with.
You better get the Hey Hitler video handy.
In my scrotal region.
Yeah.
That I assumed was the big one. So I avoided it for 2 years.
That is cancer.
Ooh.
I got an ultrasound after getting health insurance finally, and it turns out that spermatocele. This lump is a third testicle.
Really?
Born with polyorchidism.
Wow.
So my question is, should I have this testicle removed?
From what Send I it to me.
There's a pretty significant increase.
Duncan's in down one.
Cancer. Just doing the numbers. Sounds like 50%. Should I leave it alone? Should I get screened more regularly? Thank you very much, Dr. Drew.
Okay, buddy.
Coming up in May.
Okay, so I have never seen that. That's a really super rare thing. Usually when people say they have a third nut, they're talking about either a hernia or a spermatocele or a varicocele or something in there. Actual third nut, I'm used to thinking about that something being not fully descended, and I wonder if that's where the cancer risk comes from. But if the surgeons are telling you that the third testicle sitting where it is in your scrotum, which it seems like it's in the scrotum, is it at a risk for cancer, then all by all means, they get rid of it.
And also,
tell them your story. I mean,
look, everybody, please, if you're. He's like, I waited 2 years.
That men do that.
Don't fucking do that. If you're getting like, if your balls are or like something's going on there, just.
What happened to you? I don't know your story. I don't think.
What happened to me was just like all
did
of a sudden.
Did you notice something?
I noticed that like one of my balls had gotten bigger.
Okay.
Classic story.
And you went in right away or did you wait 6 months?
Well, I didn't. Thank God I didn't wait 6 months. Yeah. I might not be here if I'd waited 6 months. Mm-hmm. I didn't wait 6 months, but I did wait. Cause, you know, it's a thing. You're like, it'll probably go away. You're just thinking that. But then going along with it was like a kind of awful. Like I realized I'm on a plane and I'm realizing I'm having to like adjust a lot.
Like an aching or something.
An ache. That fucking cancer ache. And then I went in. But you know, statistically, right, you probably don't have testicular cancer. It's like relatively improbable that you have it, meaning when you go to the doctor, you're probably going to get good news.
Right.
You're going to get a big relief. You're going to be like,
and oh, if it's not, it's important to get on it and get on it quick.
Exactly. Because
it's curable.
Get it out of your body.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't wait. And everyone says,
how far did you got to the lung, didn't it?
No, it, thank oh, God,
stayed
no.
Stayed down.
It's a, I had two, stage 2A. Mm. Some lymph nodes were swollen. They didn't take them out to biopsy them to see if it was cancer. I don't think it was because they, like, I think it maybe they were just reacting.
Did you have chemo afterward?
Radiation.
Radiation.
Mm-hmm. And even before the radiation, those lymph nodes had already gone down a little bit. Yeah. So I'm not sure what was going on there. But just to be safe, they're like, let's blast those fucking lymph nodes. They didn't say it like that, but they were like, let's do it.
For sure.
So I did that. And then I'm fine now. I'm clear. You know, you have to go in for tests.
How long ago was that?
That was 2013.
It's like almost 10 years ago.
A long time
ago. 10 years is good. It's a good number.
Good number, right?
2023.
Yeah!
Another one. What do you got there?
I have the Hitler video if you want to.
Oh, yeah. So this is where the Hitler... Sorry. Thank you, Zolo. This is where the Hitler thing comes. There's a lot of things in your mom's house world that are just sort of greetings.
Got it.
You know, you better be come up in May. Keep them high and tight.
High and tight, I know. Okay. Hitler.
Try it out. Home here now. These are all from videos over the years. And this particular one was this psychotic girl that did a video blog every day to Hitler. And so she'd open every day with... Hey, Hitler.
Oh my God.
Here, let's see her.
Hey, Hitler. It's me, Dini. I just want to let you know there are at least two of my Daniacs, or at least a few of my Daniacs that are on the shrimp scampi boat, and they are getting turned into lasagna. So I need your help getting a rescue boat over there, and... And they really need your help
so
getting rescued.
Go.
So
what the fuck is she talking
she's,
about?
Mm-hmm, not good. And so she opens every video with "Hi Hitler" or "Hey Hitler, how are you?" and "Here's my thing," and then just goes into this rambling, nonsensical stuff.
Hey Hitler, wake up!
Well, she's not well. Poor thing. I feel, as usual, most of these videos make me feel bad. I see another video coming up entitled "Cool Guy Loves Sex," and that one intrigues me. Let's show that to Duncan. This is a new one for me.
I'm not your average male.
Uh-oh.
Hobbies and interests and goals, part 11. Now, I have an interest in sex. I like sex. I enjoy sex, and I intend to have lots of it when I end up in a relationship again.
Oh. Great.
Should that ever happen?
Whether I'm married or not. And I'm good at it. So good at it that I was once in my younger days offered to go work for porn industry.
Oh, no.
Kind of didn't work out for me. Didn't like it. So I turned it down. But I'm good. I know I'm good. And I know I'm good because every woman I've ever slept with.
All two of them?
Always said to me. I won't do this. I won't do that. I won't do that. That. But as soon as I have sex with them, that goes out the window. Then they're like, tie me up, paint me,
paint.
Put chocolate syrup on me, eat ice cream off me, dominate me, discipline me. You know, I don't care. I'll fuck. Yeah, my sister, I want threesomes, orgies, I want to swap partners.
I feel like I need a shower.
I want you to gangbang me with your friends. When women have sex with me, they lose their inhibition. They forget about right and wrong when what they think is appropriate in society. And they lose their minds. They literally give into their primal instincts and the sheer pleasure of what I'm giving to them. They have fallen asleep.
What?
Because of how many organs I give them. You know, they are. They
Is that
want
why they
all
fell asleep?
Kinds of naughty things to
I'm falling asleep just listening to this guy.
Yeah, he's
and
like,
even I'm good,
how is he so boring?
I intend to be better.
Yeah, how could he be so engaging
why?
And this boring at
because
the same
I
time?
Like it when a woman. Is enjoying herself in the bedroom.
Oh, I wish we had
not
some women
faking
around
it, to and know the difference.
Because I would think they'd want to run out of the room screaming when
oh,
I see this
yo,
guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I love it when she loses her mind. I'm into all kinds of freaky shit. BDSM, role play, orgies, threesome swap partners, pegging, oral sex, painting, food sex.
You know, where did you get this, Zolo? Where did this come from?
Painting,
there is nothing
food.
In the kink level.
But who sent it to us?
Look.
It wasn't one of Christina's collations.
No.
All right, good.
Loneliness sucks. Horniness sucks. When you're so lonely and horny that you're shooting a video like that,
yes.
You just have this, like, you're like, maybe, just maybe it's going to, like, get out there.
Look at that unibrow, too. It's quite attractive.
Oh,
one
man.
Solid eyebrow. I don't understand people. I really don't. When I see something like that, I'm like, what do you think? How do you imagine people are going to respond to that?
Here's the thing. You're a handsome dude. You have no problem. You probably have never had any like moments.
Bullshit. I've been lonely a lot.
But like to get to that level where you're on break.
Oh, no.
And you're like in your car and you're just like, that's deep hell level loneliness.
Yes.
And then on top of that, you're adding all the BDSM stuff and like, and you can't do the eating the ice cream out of a pussy thing, right? It's really bad, right? It causes
yeast infections.
Like you can't do that.
No,
you know, but the ass you can eat it out of.
Oh, good. That's good to know.
I'm asking.
Yes, you could. Yes, you could. We actually did that on a live show here. They hired a girl. Yes, Lola, you were there. Hired a young lady to have this guy that likes eating ass eat ice cream out of her ass. Yes.
Would you need to put a guard or something up so to make sure it didn't like melt into her vagina?
I'm not sure you have to be that. Just take a shower quick afterwards. You just don't want it going up into the cavity. On the outside, it's not going to do too much.
I think it could go in there. I mean,
it could. It's a theoretical thing, but I'm not that anxious about
like
it.
An ass bowl or something. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Like,
what did you guys do with that young lady you hired? Did you give her put a sort of plastic bowl in there?
I think
there was some sort of barrier, wasn't
there?
Yeah,
I think she actually had underwear on.
Ah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Underwear.
So there you go. With that video, we can't show the stuff from the live show, can we? I would love to be able to show some of that stuff.
No, unfortunately not.
Is that ever going to happen? Is there a way it comes off embargo one day?
I mean, you can rent it on ymhstudios.com/rentals.
Okay.
But. How dangerous is it to eat ass from a doctor's perspective?
Well, it's an interesting question because in the world, the leading cause of infectious diseases are transmitted oral fecally.
Yeah.
You know, stuff you eat, stuff that gets into the water, into the food supply, into the ground, and then it gets into the colon, and then it comes out in the feces, and it further infects the ground.
Right.
So worldwide, it's kind of an interesting concern, right? In this country, we don't have much of that. The sanitation is good enough that we don't have a lot of the oral fecal diseases. There are some. But other than that, you're not really hurting yourself.
Great news.
If you don't have to, it's good news. Go ahead. Enjoy.
Great news.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you pulled this up. Here is the guy. This is the guy that loves to eat ass. Again, we're exposing you to all of your mom's house sort of classics here. Got a little take from him, Zolo?
Hey, how y'all doing, baby girl? Yeah. You got that apple. Ay-ya-yah. Yeah, I'm feeling it. Look at you. Y'all miss that ball? Huh? Well, guess what? I'm coming at y'all fat ass.
I love this
guy. It doesn't matter if you got a big booty or a flat booty. I'm coming to get that booty. And look, I want to lick them drawers. Ay-ya-ya.
Lick them drawers.
One love for all them beautiful women. I don't give a damn where you're from. Let me put my tongue in your ass. And let me play with that nunu. Yeah, baby. And I want your feet, too. You understand?
Yes.
I understand.
Yeah,
I understand.
I want to dig in your booty. Ooh, that's some kush kush. Ay-ay-ay.
You call him the ay-ay-ay guy.
Y'all know it's a banana split?
Oh,
huh?
That's right. We ended up putting a banana split in somebody's ass, and he ate
booty.
It.
Wow.
Yeah. Wasn't it a banana split, Solo?
I got a yes, break in half. You understand? And put some corn chips, smash that up there. Yeah, girl. I'm telling you, and put some pecan, some ice cream. Girl, I'm going to go to licking that girl inside your booty. Ay-ya-ya.
Welcome to your mom's house.
He's so,
We just love his vitality, right?
Yeah.
His enthusiasm.
He's so happy.
This guy's living.
He's living his life. He's full. That is, is that an actualized human? Is that, like, we all think enlightenment looks like, you know, you're calm, you're, so, but is that what it looks like?
What was
like?
Your Zen guy's name, the guy that wrote the book about
Shogun Trump Rinpoche?
I'm not sure he would actually qualify him as enlightened.
Okay, maybe not enlightened.
But I'm not sure he can, like, find a way to support himself nor create a living environment.
But we're not talking about being able to, like, adhere to the temporary norms
of the man.
Thank you.
That's right.
No, I'm talking about, like, that man is fully himself.
He is fully himself when it comes to licking ass. That is when he is fully himself.
It seems like
his old dental work, he's got the cool guy teeth.
I think his teeth look great.
They do look great. Sort of fit him. They sort of work for him.
He needs to brush his teeth more after eating ass.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. We have not visited that one in a long time. I'm so glad. It makes me so happy to see him. There's so many of these people that we watch on Your Mom's House that make me happy. That's one of those guys.
Yes. Yeah, same.
And we used to play a lot of Robert Paul Champagne, who is a guy that... Should we visit a little bit of him just to show Duncan? He wants to be beaten and shit on and all kinds of things. And he used to make me feel real bad. I'd feel bad for him. Like, oh, what's he doing? But then I went and visited him in his house in Upper East Side in Harlem. And he has quite a life there in his little apartment. He's good. He's actualized.
He's actualized. Let's see.
Black guys love to fucking fuck good.
You seen this guy?
I've seen this guy.
If you're a hot black guy and you want to fuck me at $23.95, if you want to move in, you can move in, but you got to fuck me. I need to be fucked a lot, man. You get free food, free rent, and everything else, man. Here's a deal, man.
And I was like, Robert, you scare me when you talk like that. Somebody's going to hurt you. I mean, you really want criminals in here shitting on you?
Right.
Oh, I'm just playing a game. I want to make everybody happy. So I'm not sure I'd really do. You know, I know what's real and what's not. Robert, lovely man, though.
Okay, let's imagine this. You go to his house, and I don't know why or what, but you realize, like, I think I'm falling in love with him.
It would take a lot.
But what if that happened to you? What if, like, just all of a sudden you feel this flutter in your heart?
Yeah.
And you're like, I really am falling for this man. Would you repress that or would you, like, follow it through?
You have to kind of take me out of my present context, you mean? Like, I don't have a wife and I'm just...
No, you have a wife.
You just couldn't... I'm not open to that. My attachments are there.
So it wouldn't happen.
I could feel a deep sense of connection to him, which I do, but I wouldn't feel like.
But I'm saying, if as a thought experiment, you're driving.
No, I wouldn't.
And
go
you
through.
Hear a romantic song, you start thinking about him.
No, I wouldn't go through.
Would you talk to anybody about it? Would you talk to your wife and say, like, I don't know what's going on?
I might come back and go, I had this strange reaction. I had this.
Yeah.
I all of a sudden was in love with Robert Paul Champagne. what do I do?
Would you worry that, like, you're having
a seizure or a brain tumor? I would worry something was dreadfully wrong, or that the two of my wife and I need to get into therapy quick because something's amiss. Maybe I'm not consciously aware of it, but something's
when
off.
Love calls.
Yeah, I know it does. I am not that person. In fact, I do believe that these weird things that we get that can become love relationships, right? Like, say, particularly in our younger years, right? That we do go with. That when you have, you can choose not to go with those feelings.
Yeah.
Easily. And,
yeah.
And when you have feelings like that, when you're an adult engaged in a real, you know, with a family and a real relationship, usually that's some sort of weird boundary problem that is activating something in you that it was a source of guidance back when you were looking for romantic relationships,
right.
But now it's just some sort of remnant that gets activated.
Yeah.
You can easily go,
but some
pass.
People do, like, I'm like you. I'm not going to destroy my entire family.
Fuck no.
But it's weird when
some people do that shit.
Some people have two families.
No, or they believe that I've never felt this before. It's like, no, you're a 6-year-old man with a family. What are you doing? Yeah. I mean, and you can also choose not to have sex with people that offer it up too. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you can prioritize your primary stuff. And way too much of the last 50 years has been like, hey, whatever you're into, man, just go with it. Just like, yeah, dude.
Right. But that can it's just, I'm always astounded when I hear stories of infidelity that have been going on, like where it's like this person.
How do they do that?
How do they have the energy?
I know. I feel the same way. I feel the energy and just the energy to keep a separate thing going.
Yeah.
And imagine the guilt and shame and fear and stuff. You're like hiding this thing.
How do you live with yourself? I don't get it. Like you're like split in half, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so odd that.
And then you look at your spouse or whoever in the eye and are honest. Yeah, I'm into this. I love you.
Ew. It's creepy.
Yeah. It makes me feel bad again for people that are like that. All right, trying not to throw up. What is that? Is that my gag couple again? No?
So, I'm going to video this.
Uh-oh.
I already smelled it before I got to it.
Oh, shit.
What happened?
My garbage can has shrimp.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Shrimp peelers. There's shrimp peelers in the garbage since Easter.
No.
It's going to make me throw up.
I got my wife's like, I can't even get it to the road.
Stop. Hey. Hold your breath.
Uh-oh.
So... That was better.
Oh! You did it.
It's
Oh my God, how comfortable.
Is it making you
long? Yes, it makes me want to throw up, but he's doing it for so long.
It's the lip thing.
I'd rather just vomit than go through all that.
He could be a good trumpet player. That's what he's doing with his lips.
He's got a good, what do they call that?
I don't know.
Embouchure.
Embouchure.
What did he smell, Zolo? I hit shrimp in there or something?
Yeah, shrimp peelings is what he's saying.
Like from months ago or something?
Months ago, yeah.
So rotten fish he smelled, mm-hmm. and it made him want to vomit.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Drew, what is the... Oh. Is there a name for the effect when, like, just seeing someone about
contagion.
To...
Contagion. There's certain things that are contagious to humans. Yawn,
why
vomiting.
Why? What's the...
Wait till you get to the point where your kids start throwing up. Kids have a tendency to vomit. One will throw up, and then the other will just throw up, too.
What is that? Is there some theory on why we do that?
I don't know about theory. There's something in the brain called the chemoreceptor trigger zone that sort of can go off and trigger vomiting.
Whoa.
And I'm guessing it has some sort of... you know, again, contagion element to it, probably developed maybe because, you know, think from an evolutionary perspective, if somebody in a tribe starts vomiting because they ate something bad, everyone else wants to, get everyone else to vomit too.
Okay.
Right?
That makes sense. That's so amazing. That's so incredible.
Yeah, always think, in biology, always think, what could the evolutionary purpose of this be?
Wow.
And you can always come up with a kind of an interesting theory.
That is trippy. Yeah. Wow. That's so cool.
Well, we feel bad for that man. What was his accent? Was he Australian or...
He
was too vomity. I didn't hear the accent.
It was an American accent, I think.
Really?
Yeah, somewhere Midwest or something.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. How about why people get offended? What is this now? This should be interesting. Why people? Oh. Uh-oh.
For those of you offended or hurt by what and how I say things, consider this. Do you know why people kill each other?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to handle their minds. Go ahead. Bet on them.
Wait, what?
I'm confused. Bet on them? Is there more? That's it. We got to figure it out.
Wait, this is a puzzle or something. It's like a koan.
What's a koan?
A koan is a... if you were to go into like a monastic Zen life... And you were
likely.
Not going to happen for us this life.
No.
We're householders. But if you did, you go and meditate in these Zen temples. You're just meditating all
day. It's the ones where they sit for days and they smack them on the shoulders to make sure they don't fall asleep.
That's exactly. Yeah. Well, it's consensual. Like you're actually trying to ask for it because you're trying to like stay conscious.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically.
And
it's
you bow after they smack you with the wood.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's like a riddle. But it's an unanswerable riddle.
Right, like what's the hand in one hand clapping?
That's
the classic
it.
One, yeah.
But it's designed to get you out of your everyday mind. Mm. It's designed to sort of crack you open so that it like breaks that part of yourself that's attached to what you think of as truth and reality. And what's weird about them is they will ask you, and then at some point, it'll spontaneously, the answer will pop out of you. That's
weird. But oftentimes, it's a holistic kind of understanding that you often can't express in words, right?
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's designed to kind of catch that
intuitive, whatever. Right, let's see it again. Let's see if I can make sense of what he's saying. It's a quick enough that I don't mind seeing it again, if you don't mind. Because he said, what makes people kill?
For those of you offended, or hurt by what and how I say things, consider this. Do you know why people kill each other?
Why?
Because they don't know how to handle their minds. Huh? Go ahead, bet on them.
So I think he's just saying, I don't know what the bet on them means. I think that's sort of him being, I don't know, not clear. I think he's saying that if you're offended or hurt, get your shit together. Don't be offended or hurt. Control your offense and hurt.
Oh!
If your weak mind is offended by stuff I say, you need to control that.
Okay.
Because you could have also, I think what he's alluding to is you could have darker forces inside also that you should also control, like death impulses, you know, murderous impulses, things like that. Not a bad point.
I thought maybe it's a threat. He's saying, I can't handle my own mind. This is why I talk like this. So you could bet that if you like are making fun of me, you should watch out because
could
like
be.
I'm not as stable.
I
did.
That's what I kind of was thinking at first. That's what it looked like.
Either or. I like your version better.
My version is a little kinder. Okay, so there we go. And we have another voice message by any chance before we wrap this all up.
Hey, Dr. Drew. This is Anthony. I just have a question for you. My dad, he got out of the emergency room after having a varices blown in his stomach lining.
Uh-oh.
And he went into the general hospital afterwards. And now he is delusional and aggressive, doesn't remember any of his family.
Okay.
Very strange. Doctors don't know what to do about it.
Okay.
He had to check his ammonia levels.
Yeah.
This is a patient that's been on methadone for years and was off of it for 2 days while in the hospital.
Oh, boy.
And was put back on. We don't know if that's the case. Mm. If you know anything that could be of info, I would appreciate a lot.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. So this is really serious stuff. Varices are like, you know, you have varicose veins in your leg. Well, you can get them in your esophagus.
Okay.
When you have something called portal hypertension, which is because you have cirrhosis. So he has cirrhosis. The fact that he was on methadone means that he was an opiate addict. Perhaps the cirrhosis is from hepatitis C.
Okay.
Or from alcohol or both. Whatever it is, it's bad. The fact that he became delusional 3 days off methadone, people can get really wild coming off high dose of methadone if they're not tapered down carefully. So it's possibly that. More, I'm thinking he has either, could have methadone withdrawal, could have alcohol withdrawal. Again, he's got cirrhosis. Maybe he's been drinking in addition to taking his methadone. Or he just has something called hepatic encephalopathy, which is advanced liver disease again. And when they swallow the blood after a variceal bleed, the blood in the system that breaks down creates ammonia byproducts that then the liver can't clear. And so they get this encephalopathy. They're out of their mind. So he is definitely encephalopathic. He had a very serious bleed. Good news is these days they can go in and inject those varices and clot them.
Oh, that's great.
But the cirrhosis is the bigger problem. If he has hepatitis C, I don't know why he didn't have that treated. It's a curable condition now in most situations. And then the encephalopathy, get him back on the methadone, you know, get him cleared with something called lactulose. If he's in alcohol withdrawal, do not let them use Haldol. Make sure they use short-acting benzodiazepine like Cerax.
Why not Haldol?
It makes them a lot worse. I've seen doctors do that. They give these people an alcohol withdrawal Haldol, and the patient starts like seizing and vibrating over the bed. I'm like, what are you doing?
Why?
It's terrible.
Why?
And you have to use Cerax and that Librium or Valium because the liver metabolizes Valium and Librium. And if you have that kind of cirrhosis, you're not going to metabolize
Cerax?
Cerax is a very short-acting benzodiazepine.
It's also a character in the video game Mortal Kombat. I'm 99%
really?
Certain.
Really? Well, it's not used very much anymore, but it's an ultra-short-acting benzodiazepine that's renally excreted. It's not metabolized by the liver. So
why do they take you off methadone when you go in the hospital?
They should not have. That was a mistake.
Oh,
if that's what
I
happened,
see.
That's an error. Especially if he's on, you know, over 20 milligrams. My bet he's on 80 or 100, and that's not good. Not good. That is my area. That's where I used to deal with a lot of that stuff.
Crazy y'all could do that. You are so interesting. Your mind works like that.
Yeah, because I've seen it a million times. And I worked on a unit where we took care of the very most ill people. And we had this shit all the time. This is just sort of part of the deal.
God, it's so scary when your body starts melting like that.
And it's so, you know, We live in a time right now where we're letting those diseases, the drug addictions, run unchecked. And people are, it's a progressive illness and people are just dying all over the place. And because the laws on the coast, you know, particularly California, Oregon, and Washington, are like, hey, man, let them do whatever they want. Their brain isn't working right. You've got to help them. And we're letting them just die.
You advocate for mental health courts, right? Yes. That's what you think is the solution to the problem.
I think you've got to get them into treatment. They got to, first of all, you got to create the environments for care, which we have woefully little, and then mandate it in some way. Push them into those treatment centers because when they, in 2 weeks when they clear, they're grateful for that.
Right.
They're pissed at people that left them on the street.
Wait, what is the explanation, the general explanation for why that isn't happening? Why is it?
It's just
money?
It's a religion for people that don't understand, have never treated these conditions, don't understand what it is, and they. I literally asked. I've been so tired of fighting this fight. I did a documentary on homelessness with the Salvation Army and this woman that spearheaded the whole thing. She was talking about taking the documentary out and stuff, and she'd been in Sacramento. I just said, I'm just so tired. I mean, what is – I can't fight these people anymore. I go, what is with them? And she immediately – she screamed back at me. She goes, it's a religion. It's a religion for them. You don't understand. It's a religious belief, and they are in – outer space with their understanding
what's
of what
the religion
this is.
I don't understand
religion is you're free to do whatever you want, whenever you want, you're living your best life. If doing drugs is part of it, enjoy.
Oh, it's
do it right in Portugal. Portugal knows how to do it. Portugal was a disaster, by the way.
It was
disaster.
That was the safe shoot up zone. Do you think those are bad?
I have no problem with people administering heroin to people, right? If that's how we do it to keep them safe. But the disease still progresses. They will still die. So if you're not also moving them towards treatment, you are killing them, literally killing them. And that's what they found in Portugal, lo and behold.
But the mental health courts, would it be the police enforcing? Like,
I don't know how you do it, really. I mean, I want something kind and just and, you know, not gentle, but firm, but just moving. Just say, hey, come with me. You can't do this. You got to come with me. We're going to do this. Let's go. That's as simple as that.
I'm really surprised that, especially in California, that is not something that is embraced by.
Isn't it bizarre? It's bizarre.
There doesn't seem anything really fascist about trying to get someone medical care.
Well, the really extraordinary thing is if somebody is running around on the street with dementia, same symptoms, delusional, not making sense, hallucinating. But dementia is the cause, and you don't treat them, you're guilty of a crime, elder abuse. But if the same age person with the same symptom complex is having that because of schizophrenia, get the fuck out of his life. He's doing whatever he wants. He's living his best life. And the dementia, here's the really fucked up part. The dementia, when you treat it, is inexorable. It's going to get worse.
Right.
The schizophrenic, if you get them early, you can prevent them from deteriorating. You let them deteriorate, they're gone for good.
That's so sad.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. Anyway, that's why I worry about all this stuff. I've been, you know, these are all my patients scattered all over the streets. I know how to treat this. It's not that hard, but you have to do the work. You have to, it's not easy to get people to do things that their brain doesn't want to do.
I mean, yeah, it's such a confusing, it's always been really confusing to me. It just seems so sad to think that somebody's kid out there off their meds. Once you get off your meds long enough, you don't know what's happening anymore.
Correct.
You need help
and
desperately.
Then you throw in some meth and other things that you may be using, and then that's it. And we've had families up in California is where the problem is. I've had families up in Sacramento begging them to help us. We have money, we have a doctor, we have a bed for them that we want help bringing them home and getting them care. Fuck you. Get out of here. Who do you think you are? It's an adult. He's doing what he wants to do.
Doesn't California have this huge budget surplus? It's not like there's not money to...
There's billions of dollars, and all that's used for is to sustain people where they are. Doesn't ask anything of them. So you're going to put them in little tents and little houses and this and that, and they will continue to die because you're doing nothing for them.
Wow.
Yeah, it's terrible.
That sucks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, if you go to safeheroin.com, use offer code DTFH, you're going to get the safest heroin available in California.
DTFH.
Yeah.
That's where you go. So tell people about the podcast, where they can find you.
I've got a podcast called the Duncan Trussell Family Hour. It's at duncantrussell.com. Got some shows coming up. I don't know when this comes out, but you can always find my dates at duncantrussell.com.
And are you doing more with the puppet?
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I was interested when you and Joe Rogan were talking about what you had done. I started thinking about it. I thought this has it can go a lot of places. You can go a lot of places with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, this we can talk about it off camera, but yeah. I do want to talk to you a little bit because the puppet does seem to like be abusing a lot of different drugs.
Oh, and I have to work. I have to help him.
Could you? Would you mind? I know everyone always is coming at you with stuff that. Like he's got these weird sores on his ass.
Oh, he's got the monkeypox. That's how you got the monkeypox.
Look. I like to get very close with
my coworkers.
Especially when we're performing together.
Yeah. Especially when the performance is him sitting in your lap.
Exactly.
Right.
So yeah, please don't take it the wrong way. But yeah, if you look up anybody who's done any kind of ventriloquism, it's you need to know your instrument.
Yes, inside and out. Mm-hmm. With that, we will leave it there. Duncan Trussell, everybody, DuncanTrussell.com, the Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
Yes, sir.
Check it all out. You won't be sorry. And look for his dates. Go see his comedy. We'll see you next time.
Bye!
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.